Yo, yo.
Hey, what's up?
Colin, Colin, what's up with you?
Nothing much. I'm on my way home. I just, I've been doing a, have you ever heard of DoorDash?
DoorDash?
Yeah.
So and so. I haven't done it, though.
Yeah, I'm not glad I've been doing it, man. I made about, like, 150 in 2 days.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, obviously, it's going to take some toll on my car eventually, but, I mean, it's yeah. Easy money.
Right.
But yeah, I'm ready to get started when you are.
Yeah, man. Let's get down to business and everything else. So we're getting down to business and everything else here on the Earl J. Brock Show here, where we talk about the NFL, NBA, and the collegiate football level and everything else. I got a special guest in the building right here named Josh Sanchez. What's going on? Welcome to the show, fam.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, thank you for coming me on. I'm excited. I can't wait to talk. Talk football. Yeah. I'll talk some NBA with you, too, if you want. Just let me know.
Yeah. So we got tonight's game here between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. So this is like the matchup. This is the pretty much the matchup of the year that we all been looking for here to it and everything else. And right then and there, this is only going to be strategically determined. Will Patrick Mahomes end up win the division for the Kansas City Chiefs, or will Philip Rivers and them will come in for the upset right then and there? I want to know, what's the strategies you end up have to say, Josh, between for both teams?
Well, obviously for the Chiefs, like, their defense is ranked they're ranked in the bottom in the NFL. And so it's all going to be on Patrick Mahomes and that explosive power offense. I know Tyreek Hill was a little bit banged up last week, but I know he's good to go for the Kansas City Chiefs. But between him, Travis Kelce, obviously, like, the whole Kareem Hunt situation, that really hurt the Chiefs because he's arguably one of the best running backs in football. But it comes down to, again, Patrick Mahomes being solidifying him as an MVP. If he's going to be the MVP of the league, he's going to have to continue performing the way how he has. He's thrown for over 4,300 yards and almost 40 touchdowns already, and we still have 3 more weeks left to go this season. That's how amazing he's been. And did you see that 4th-and-9 play when they took on the Ravens last week, how he fell? He threw the ball like 40 yards, falling down.
Wow, I actually actually saw that highlight right then and there because I was working at another game, which I was working the Cowboys and the Eagles game.
Of course.
So when I saw that play on that highlight, I didn't really think he was going to end up potentially with just have that step backwards foot and just launch the ball 40 yards up ahead. And I didn't think he could just drag and pull that ball off like that because it's kind of impossible to end up just a – drag and throw the ball like that all the way down 40 yards to end up determining who was going to make the catch of that ball there. So that was kind of strategic. It was kind of a strange play, but he actually pulled it off. I didn't think he was really going to do it.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Now you go. You got it. My fault.
Yeah, so, and what is the strategies that the LA Chargers and them needs to do right then and there, which in the Chiefs has been on a hot, they've been rolling. I'm talking about rolling down strictly to the prestigiousness to the highest level. And then just that game behind the Chiefs. Because if the Chargers contentiously win this game tonight, things going to start shifting in the postseason, in the playoff picture. And they're going to make Kansas City work hard to end up to win that division. Only thing is, the Chargers got to clinch the playoff berth with this win tonight. But if Kansas City wins tonight, they win the division.
Yeah, because the Chiefs, they defeated the Chargers earlier in the year. And again, for the Los Angeles Chargers, for them, like, honestly, like, if you're looking for one of the most, like, all-around solid teams in the NFL, the Chargers are right up there. They have a top-10 defense, and they have a top-10 offense in the league. Phillip Rivers is also playing like an MVP candidate. They have a great pass rush. They have a very good and solid secondary. This Chargers team is all around solid. So for them, it's just finding a way to contain Patrick Mahomes on the defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball, getting their running backs going. Because I know Melvin Gordon, I know he's banged up as well. I don't know if he's playing in this game. And if he is, he's not 100%. My fault. But
yeah. That's a good point right then and there. I end up just found out towards on the injury report from Bleacher's Report right then and there. They saying Melvin Gordon is not actually playing in this game tonight here.
Okay.
So he banged up, so he's not going to play into this. We have to end up the one and only Josh Sanchez right here on the LJ Brock Show, and the sponsoring by Anchor, the fastest way to end up make a podcast show right then and there. So if you look at the playoff picture between the AFC and the NFC, let's start off towards with the AFC side of the picture and everything else. Just imagine if Kansas City was the number one seed and the Patriots the number two seed. Who do you have in the AFC from third to sixth to the sixth seed in the AFC?
Okay, now if you said the Chiefs and Patriots are 1-2. My third seed would be the Texans. Only because, like, I obviously, like, they haven't really, like, played anyone really tough this year. But, I mean, I know besides their loss to the Colts last week, they've been solid. But the Steelers losing to the Raiders, that really hurt them in terms of getting a three seed. But I still see Pittsburgh getting that four seed because of that tie that they had. I feel like that tie will be the difference maker. And for Baltimore and Pittsburgh, because the Ravens and the Steelers are both done playing. And I know the Steelers play the Patriots this week, so that's going to be a big game. As my five seed, obviously the Chargers. I wish the format could be changed a little bit. I know you have your four division winners, but I'm a firm believer in, like, the best record. Like, if you have the best record, you should be a higher seed.
To agree with the part right then and there, Josh, that's the good part right then and there. And if you look at it from the human nature's perspective and everything else, it's only going to determine who has and what they call overall record-wise. Just like the Patriots and the lost their game to the Miami Dolphins and that Miami Miracle and that three-point lateral right then and there. That kind of ended up hurt the Patriots right there because that was their division title. Right in front they face. It was right in front of them, right then and there. And I think Bill Belichick pretty much outcoached himself against the Dolphins during that time well being. Because if you look at it from that last play, because if you go and look at the last play of that game, I was saying to myself, I was like, why in the world Bill Belichick end up have Rob Gronkowski out there thinking that they was about to throw a Hail Mary somewhere.
I know. That was like, because again, like when you think
that of that was one of the worst horrendous mistakes ever to end up to make that play.
I know you're absolutely right. Like, and again, when you think of Bill Belichick, you think of one of the most smartest coaches in the game of football. He arguably the Patriots have had the best run from any team ever in professional sports. And for him to put Rob Gronkowski in there at the end of the game where he's banged up and he's nicked up already, it's just a head-scratcher. But in terms of the division, though, the Patriots are still going to win the division. Obviously, they have a two-game lead over the Dolphins. But that did cost them home field and getting that number one seed. And honestly, if the Chiefs beat the Chargers tonight, I see the Chiefs getting the number one seed, and I don't see the Patriots going into Arrowhead and beating the Chiefs.
And I know
Andy Reid has his postseason failures and stuff like that, and I know that, but there's just something about Arrowhead when the Patriots go into Arrowhead. They're one of the teams that just do not come out of there with a win, and their defense is really bad. And Patrick Mahomes exposed, like, they played earlier in the year, and it was 40. It was both teams put up over 40 points, so it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. But I just don't see the Patriots winning in Arrowhead this year. This is probably one of the weaker Patriots teams that we have seen in a while.
Yeah, and you can't say that certain teams the Patriots end up played against at that time, certain teams end up got revenge. Like the Tennessee Titans end up got real good revenge on Tom Brady. They got him so good and everything else. Even your former teammate even talked about you, saying that this game was cheap. Now, jumping and transition on to the NFC side and everything else, which in the Saints right then and there has and have pretty much won the division twice, 2 years in a row.
Yep.
And pretty much they're going to be playing against the Carolina Panthers Monday night. I'm pretty much end up saying this, and I'm going to say this right now. I think the New Orleans Saints is pretty much is going to put the playoff misery ends to the Carolina Panthers in that particular status. I don't know how the game is going to happen and how it all is going to go down and everything else and all that. Will Drew Brees strategize the Carolina Panthers defense and secondary? Because if he strategizes that secondary and defense to all that, it's going to be pretty much of a long game for the Panthers. But if Cam Newton fix all this, you done had yourself the worst five-game stretch of all high measures. You done threw four interceptions against to a horrible defense in Tampa
Bay. You're right.
Four interceptions? And you're going to say you don't remember you throwing four interceptions? Come on now. You're riding on a five-game losing streak, and that ain't good for your team. You was one loss away from being out of playoff contention in the NFC South. And you're going pretty much going to see the Saints going to be way up there.
Yeah, I know. And in terms of the Panthers, it's been a very disappointing season because they were sitting there at 6-2, one of the best teams in the NFC. Not 6-2. Yeah, they were 6-2. They were one of the best teams in the NFC, and now they've lost literally like five games in a row, and now they sit there, now they're sitting at 6-7. And if you're looking at the NFC playoff picture, right now at the NFC, you have your two top teams. You have the Saints and the Rams, and then you have everyone else. Dallas has been playing really good. They've won five straight. Even though I will say when they played the Eagles last week, they did get a little bit of controversial calls going their way. Like, I don't know how that's not a fumble recovery by the Eagles on that opening kickoff. I don't know how four Eagles guys land on the football and they still say it's not a clear recovery. I don't get it, but you have the Seahawks sitting there at 5. I think that they're a sleeper team that no one's given them enough credit because obviously Richard Sherman left, Earl Thomas broke his leg again, Cam Chancellor retired. So there's a lot of pressure. Like, is the Legion of Boom over? The Richard Sherman era is over. But you see guys like Griffin come in and just absolutely ball, and this Seattle team is rolling. And I feel like they could definitely creep up if they play Dallas. In the first round, I could definitely see Seattle pulling up that upset. But in terms of the NFC, though, you have the Vikings in terms of the in the hunt. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit – I do like my Eagles, I do. I honestly think that the Eagles are done, personally, because they played the Rams this week. Carson Wentz is out of the game. He has a spinal fracture. He has a fracture in his back. So he's gonna be out. I knew there was something up with him because he hasn't been himself lately. But
yeah, because I'm gonna tell you like this here, Josh, and I'm gonna end up emphasizing this for your Philadelphia Eagles and everything else. Despite of Carson Wentz and went down on a torn ACL last year, which that was his MVP candidate year, and he played against that same Rams team. So I'm just like, what?
Yeah, I know. Something about him playing against the Rams, he gets hurt.
If you look at it from the nature's perspective and everything else, and now that Carson Wentz has ended up out fracturing the vertebrae on his back here. That's kind of like a bad look and everything else. And the Eagles kind of pretty much had themselves like up and up this way here and it's down here with four defensive linemen just out on injuries. Mostly your secondaries is all banged up with injury. Because if you compare it to last year to this year, last year didn't have that so many injuries during to that process during that time well being last year. Now you put it to this year, you have to look at it and say to yourself, is that, oh God, right then and there. Now we pretty much it's all banged up for the real adversity and everything else and all that. And it was just like,
And you're right. And
yeah.
what's crazy about this NFC picture is the Vikings have been so bad that even if Carson Wentz is out, the Eagles still have a chance. Even as bad as the Panthers have been, they have a chance. We all know the Redskins with Mark Sanchez, like they're a hot mess, but they still have a chance too. Like all these teams have so like all these teams in the hunt are literally all a half a game away because the Vikings have been so bad. They're six, six and one. The Eagles are 6-7. The Panthers are 6-7, and the Redskins are 6-7. In fact, even the Packers have a shot at making the N even they have a shot, and they're 5-7-1. Like the NFC.
Whoa, don't emphasize me about the Green Bay Packers. Oh no. Oh no, Josh, don't you do it.
I won't, but I'm just saying, like, all these teams in a hunt.
Here's the thing about this. I can't emphasize putting Green Bay in that contentious right now. Aaron Rodgers ain't even been himself neither.
I know. I will say Green Bay has looked awful. They haven't even won a road game this year. But I'm just I, what my point is that my point is the NFC from the sixth seed down has been so bad that like they're literally like losing to, they're losing to scrub teams. Like it's just been one of those years that like an 8-8 football team could get into the playoff. And it happens very rare, but the Eagles still have a shot. The Redskins still have a shot. Even like all the teams from six to like nine have a shot, just because the Vikings have been such a huge disappointment. Because the Vikings, like I saw that Monday night game. I know they got robbed when Wagner blocked that field goal, but like I didn't see this Vikings team getting the ball back again and scoring another touchdown for the win. I didn't see it. Their offense looked awful. And again, like they have been a huge disappointment of the season. I put them right up with the Jaguars and the Eagles as like the biggest disappointments of the year.
Oh Lord, see, let me go off on a second about the Jacksonville Jaguars, which didn't tick me off here. Jacksonville shouldn't even end up being in this discussion right now. I wouldn't give a doggone how worse they were. The only way they end up made themselves relevant was their defense last year when they was in there was making challenging plays against the New England Patriots, even though the Patriots end up managed to come out the second half and start God's plays and then they'll just take off and Tom Brady went psycho Tom Brady in that game right then and there and all that nonsense. I said to myself right then and there, it didn't make sense right then and there. Now that the Jacksonville Jaguars is contentiously out of playoff contenders because of who? Jalen Mills. I'm gonna tell you why Jalen Mills is in the part of this doggone reason. Right now, Jalen Mills didn't know how to shut up and play his game.
Jalen Mills is on the Eagles. You mean Jalen Ramsey, right? I got you. I got you. I'm hoping, yeah.
Jalen Ramsey,
Jalen Ramsey,
yes.
I got you.
Ramsey did not know how to shut up and play. I'm sorry. He didn't know how to shut up and
Right.
play. Next thing, he gonna tell the whole organization, "Y'all gonna miss me while I am gone." Really? Have you lost your mind here?
You're right.
I wouldn't even put Jacksonville up in it. The person that needs to get up out of Jacksonville and needs to go back to the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin needs to go back to the New York Giants. I understand that you was the vice president of football operations for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you did a lot better when you was with the New York Giants. You won two Super Bowl championship rings and you beat Tom Brady twice. What does that tell you? What is Josh? Get
I know,
help
I know,
me
I
here.
know, I know. He's got to go back to the Giants. He has to. I mean, and the Giants are literally just one quarterback away from being something special. You have Odell, you have Saquon Barkley, who is an absolute stud. I mean, as an Eagles fan, I will give him all the props. He absolutely cooked our defense in the two times we played him this year. And the only reason why the Eagles beat the Giants the second time in Philly was because their play caller, their offensive coordinator, is an idiot, and they only gave Saquon Barkley the ball three times the whole second half when he had over 100 yards at halftime.
What's the obvious to that? I'm saying like this here. What's next? I'm sorry I have to say this about the New York Giants and everything else, but doggone it. Eli got to go.
Right. He has to go. And I mean,
he got to go.
I mean, he won them two rings. He did his job. Now it's time for him to go. They need to draft a young guy. It's time to move on. That's what it comes down to.
He got to go.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He has to go. And I mean,
he got to go.
And I mean, football is a very interesting game. Like, obviously, like, if you want to go back to the AFC playoff picture real quick, obviously, you know, all the AFC teams lost. Like, the Steelers lost to the Raiders. The Broncos. The Broncos that were in the playoff hunt, they lost to the 49ers. You have the Texans. They lost to the Colts. You had the Patriots. They lost to the Dolphins. And the Chiefs were the only team that won. The Chiefs and Chargers were the only two teams that are in the current playoff spot that won last week. And everyone else lost. So, like, who knows? Like, this is one of the years in the NFL where I have no idea who's a clear-cut favorite. Because Dallas, their defense is starting to play good. The Saints, they have a high-powered offense, but their defense. I will say this though: if the Saints get the number one seed, I think the Saints are going to the Super Bowl.
I already been emphasized that prediction right now. They get home field and somebody in them plays them. The Saints are pretty much of a different size of another animal.
You're right.
There'll be the time. Who's going to stop Ain't Guard Mike?
Right.
Who's going to stop Kamara? Who's going to stop Drew Brees from throwing a doggone ball downfield?
You're right.
Really gonna stop Mark.
You're right. And
because that's
and with the AFC though, like I have no idea who's going to win. I mean, the Patriots. You can always put the nod to the Patriots because they're the Patriots, but they're not. This team is weak this year. They're not the same Patriots team.
So. They never wasn't the same page on the same different level methods. The only team that was in the NFC that's on the same page method was Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They two are on the same page level. These two is gonna looking to win two more rings and get the hell out.
Right.
Shoot.
Drew Brees has two more years left on his contract this year and next year. So this is it for Brees. This is his last run.
What? We never know. We never know how he can end the tours play out. He could say he has to say this, and I'll say it like this for him right then and there. And however it happens, if he ever intends to end the play on another high level, he might can. Tom Brady, on the other hand, it only takes Tom Brady to get hit one more time and he's done. He finished.
I will say this though. Tom Brady's just on a whole nother level though. He, in terms of getting his body in shape and in terms of him getting like mentally prepared, Tom Brady is the GOAT in terms of quarterbacking. Like not like athletic wise, but I mean in terms of like his heart, his mental willpower. Like he's right up there in terms of like mentality wise, like the idea of being mentally strong and overcoming anything. This man ran over a 6 in his 40-yard dash. That's how slow he was. But like I put him right up there with Michael Jordan as like he's like sort of like the Michael Jordan of football, whereas like he's not like God gifted athletically, but like in terms of his mentality. You're down 7 points or you're down 3 points. You have 1 minute left with no timeouts or one timeout. I'm giving the ball to Tom Brady, and I'm saying, Tom Brady, lead us to victory. That's just – yes, I'm giving it to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's won.
I don't mean to pump brakes right then and there. Hold on.
Five rings.
You obviously end up going to tell me with a straight face right then and there for the determine who for the determines of game winning drives here. He's not the only person that has certain game winning drives that can lead the ball down the field.
I know. And I get that. I know Aaron Rodgers. I get that. But Aaron Rodgers this season, what has happened to him though? Like, he's had moments where he needs to lead his team to victory, and he's not doing it. Whereas Tom Brady does it year after year after year, and he has the most playoff wins all time from a quarterback. He has the most career game-winning drives in the NFL, in NFL history by a quarterback. That's why I'm like – no, don't get me wrong. In terms of talent, like how I compare Brady and Rodgers is how I compare MJ with LeBron. That's how I compare the two. Rodgers is more talented. Rodgers can run. He can throw the ball on his left and his right 50 yards with ease. Tom Brady can't do that. Just like how Michael Jordan, LeBron James is just 6'9". He's 260. He's just too big, too fast, too strong. Michael Jordan may be big and strong, but he's not as big and strong as LeBron. LeBron can just do things that Michael Jordan just can't do. But in terms of that mentality, what separates Brady and MJ from LeBron and Rodgers is that mental aspect of the game. Tom Brady's just mentally stronger and imposes his will mentally on his opponents. Like that Super Bowl with the Falcons. You can blame the Falcons play calling. You can blame the coach. And I was one of the people that did believe it, that did blame it. But Tom Brady led his team back the whole game. And you just knew that they were gonna win the game. I'm just like, man, the Falcons, man, they're celebrating too much. It's Tom Brady. You can't blink against him. You got to keep attacking him, or else he's gonna come back. And that's what he did. Exactly. He threw for over 500 yards against my Eagles last year in the Super Bowl. He killed our defense, man. I was sitting there watching the game. I'm stressing out every time Tom Brady has the ball. I'm like, man, this man cannot be stopped. He threw for over 500 yards in the game, like. He's just cold blooded. He's just on another level mentally. That's all. That's why. Like I get what you're saying though about Rodgers. I agree with you. Rodgers is more talented, but man, Tom Brady mentally wise, he's just on another level.
Mm-hmm. Let me emphasize this for you right then. Okay, the Tom Brady comparison of the Michael Jordan level as far as championship wise. Yes, I will put him into that. Now, if you were saying you were calling Tom Brady the Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan of the National Football League, Cole, I'm gonna say it like this: Michael Jordan, he was a clutch gene. He had clutch genes every chance he got. He had clutch genes every chance that he got, and when he scored when his team needed it. Kobe, on the other hand, pretty much did the same. So, between Kobe and Jordan was pretty much the same, but the only thing was Jordan was better than Kobe.
You're right.
He was more elevated and he was more experienced than Kobe was. It took Kobe years. It had to take Kobe years until him to elevate the great Michael Jordan. Way up here. It took it way up there to end up to get to the level right there.
I know. I'm just speaking of like an athletic standpoint. Like LeBron James is 6'9", 260.
Cool. The point of what I'm saying about Tom Brady is, the point about what I said about Tom Brady is, Tom Brady is nothing but a pocket present.
You're right. He is.
He's a pocket present for seizure QB. All he's going to do is if an offensive line end up content the block for him and he's standing in a pocket for over 30, almost 60 to 90 seconds long to find somebody. But if he can't find somebody, he go out to run somehow. But if you see how Drew Brees is, take Aaron Rodgers out this equation right quick. And I'm going to tell you why I throw Drew Brees in this equation. Right, doggone now. Have you ever seen Drew Brees ever content to run the ball at a certain point in time when it's necessary? This time of the year? He ran the ball when it was necessary, when he had to do it. I understand Tom Brady in the rush for 1,000 yards in his entire career.
Oh, I know. About time he got to it that far.
Throughout his 19 years, while Drew Brees been there for 17, two Hall of Famers. Because I said this to myself right then and there. Now, as far as Super Bowl-wise, I'm going to tell you right now, even though it might be too early, but I don't care. If the Super Bowl comes down to this right now, I'm calling a Super Bowl prediction. I can't see Kansas City playing against Drew Brees and the Saints. I can't see that. Because Drew Brees is going to make the simple game easy and going to torture these people. He's going to torture Kansas City. Kansas City might going to go as good as far as going head-to-head matchup with Drew Brees and scoring. But when it comes down to your defense, I will pick the Saints defense over Kansas City defense because of that regularity. As far as anybody defense, I can't see the Patriots defense play that good like that. I can't.
I know.
Tom Brady about as good as with Drew Brees as far as score mentality. Who the world going to end up with a challenge to Saints in the Super Bowl game? Who? The only team might show and the might end up challenging them is the L.A. Chargers. They might pretty much would have got a shot at challenging Drew Brees and the Saints. They would have had a shot right then and there. Because if that was ever the case, Phillip Rivers go against Drew Brees. Drew Brees' second appearance, Phillip Rivers' first one. My prediction of that score, the game will be close.
Yeah, out of the game, you're right, it'll be close.
The score would have been 35-31. I'd have gave it 35-31. Saints end up winning their second Super Bowl as an overall team, and Drew would have won his second of that time being within the 9 years. That would make Drew Brees. And I was saying like this now. I said this before. I'm going to say it again every doggone body. If Drew Brees wins another Super Bowl, the conversation between him and Aaron Rodgers and all that's going to be dead done over. Drew Brees is going to end up going to close the chapter and take Aaron Rodgers up out of the equation because, for one, he doesn't have Mike McCarthy because Mike McCarthy was gone because Aaron Rodgers went on him. That's one right then and there. Second thing that's going to end up going to happen is right then and there if just because you gave Aaron Rodgers all that money, what kind of head coach he going to find that has experience? Who? I wait.
I wait. All right. Now, here's the thing. Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks to play in this game, hands down. I will give you that.
One of the best accurate quarterbacks that ever played the game. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers can't even top the numbers. Drew Brees end up almost every record that Tom Brady doesn't even have.
All right, now you're talking in terms of records, but I mean, you also got to put in playoffs. Like, Drew Brees only has one ring. Drew Brees has also never won an NFL MVP. Because you know why?
Because they keep snubbing him because he's up to 6 feet tall.
No, you know why they're snubbing him? Because while he was throwing the 5,000-yard seasons, his team wasn't really winning. And Peyton Manning won 5 MVPs. Peyton Manning is definitely way better than Drew Brees.
What?
Yes. Peyton Manning is way better than Drew Brees.
Are you high?
He has 5 NFL MVPs. And
that's why he's snubbing Drew Brees. In 09, Drew Brees was supposed to win that right then and there because he started the MVP consideration. Plus, he ended up started the undefeated record before Peyton Manning even regulated that. Peyton Manning ended up regulating it and ended up following Drew Brees just because of that. And the NFL only looked at it to see if Drew Brees was going to slip up.
Peyton Manning set the records for the yards.
Peyton Manning slip off? Look at the playoff records that Peyton Manning ended up having. He was by far the worst to end up to have playoff records.
All right, now you can talk about playoff records, but Peyton Manning went to 4 Super Bowls. He won 2. Drew Brees only been the one. Drew Brees has only been the one Super Bowl.
But man's undefeated.
1-1, but I mean Peyton Manning, like I get it. You can bash Peyton Manning's record, and I completely get that. But the reason why Peyton Manning's ahead of Brees is because Manning's been the 4. He's led his team four different times. He's one of four other quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl for two different organizations. So Peyton Manning is top five all time in terms of quarterback. He's definitely the best regular season quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Best regular season. But when he comes down to end up playing in the postseason, what happened? He just cracks under pressure.
I know. But you gotta put Brady ahead of Breeze. You gotta put Peyton Manning ahead of Breeze. Just because those two guys right there, they're the ones that revolutionized this whole game of the quarterback, of changing the play in the line of scrimmage. Peyton Manning, what he did, that's why all the quarterbacks today changed plays in the line of scrimmage. Breeze wasn't doing that before Manning was doing it. It was Manning and Brady that set the standard, and everyone else followed. You had Phillip Rivers, you have Drew Brees, you have like Matt Ryan, you have all these other guys that do not that do.
Oh, what, man, don't bring Matt Ryan in this equation.
Matt
even strapped out the defense when he tried to save his own team.
No. I agree with you. I'm just thinking of like all the modern day quarterbacks, like Andrew Luck.
Fair enough.
All these quarterbacks now, they change the play. All the good, solid ones, and the great ones do it even better. They change the play at the line of scrimmage. And that's all because of what Manning and Brady did to start out their careers. And that's what all these other guys are following. I get it. Drew Brees may have the best passing yards record. But, I mean, he's only been the one Super Bowl. And he's never won an NFL MVP. And the reason why he never won an NFL MVP was because Peyton Manning had an even better regular season than Drew Brees.
Didn't have enough game when it drives. They're going to say that every chance he gets. But do you know how many analysts and commentators get pissed off that they keep snubbing him like that?
I know. You are absolutely correct. Like, Drew Brees does get snubbed. I love Drew Brees. He's a great quarterback. And he's definitely top. He's definitely in a discussion for top 10 right now. And by the time he's done his career,
quarterbacks.
By the time
he's gone, he's number three.
I wouldn't put him at number three. You have
For me,
it goes Brady, Joe Montana. Montana won four rings. Then you have Manning. And then, obviously, people are going to talk about, like, Brad. I don't see Bradshaw, but obviously around there. Like, I put Breeze around the same area as Aaron Rodgers, but I have Rodgers a little bit ahead of Breeze only because Rodgers has won an MVP, whereas Breeze has not won an MVP yet. But if Breeze – I agree with you. If Breeze wins his second Super Bowl – and his second Super Bowl MVP, he will be ahead of Aaron Rodgers. I will agree with you. But Breeze has to win another Super Bowl for him to be ahead of Rodgers, in my opinion.
In my contentions, it can. Because I think for right now, Aaron Rodgers has lost his way. He lost his way ever since Jordy Nelson left the Packers. Now, your offense and everything else was all good gravy. But defensive-wise, the defense couldn't even save Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah, and I agree with you, but I will also prove this point to you as well. Drew Brees and the Saints had a time period where after their Super Bowl victory when they won and they got upset by the 49ers that following year and they lost to the Seahawks too in back-to-back playoff runs. They had three straight seasons where they were 8-8. And it was not because of Drew Brees. Drew Brees was putting in numbers. It was that their defense was one of the worst in football. So, like, what you're saying right now about Aaron Rodgers and this year, I can say the same thing about Brees from other than last year, the Saints were literally just a mediocre football team. They were 8-8, 8-8, and 8-8, three straight years. After they lost to Alex Smith and they lost to Marshawn, because remember Marshawn Lynch's beast mode run. When the Seahawks were 8-8 and the Saints were coming off of their Super Bowl championship, but the Seahawks go into New Orleans go into Seattle and they lose, and then that following year Alex Smith beats them, and then after that the Saints had a point where they were mediocre, and that was because, again, like there's nothing Brees could do, but his team just wasn't good enough, and right now the Packers are just not good enough as a football team. They need help. It's either Rodgers or bust, and that's not how it should be. You got to build a good team around these quarterbacks. There's more than just one player.
Like they said once before, right then and there, I'll end up towards eliterate the record. The Saints end up winning they end up winning 7-9 in 3 years.
Yeah.
The last time they end up towards winning 8-8, that was back in 2008.
Okay, so 7-9. They're even worse than what I gave them. I just said they're around 500. Yeah, because I remember there was a stretch where the Saints did not make the playoffs because the Panthers, they went to the Super Bowl in 2015. Then the Falcons, they went to the Super Bowl in 2016. And then now the Saints finally got their swag back. Because there's talks about Sean Payton leaving as the coach in New Orleans. Because they had back-to-back just mediocre, below-average seasons. So, but I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, though. I'm not glad. I'm having a lot of fun, though. I like talking about this. I'm having fun.
Exactly. Like, I'll end up towards we'll say this and everything else here, which is, I have my guest, Josh Sanchez, right here on the Earl J. Ross Show, sponsored by Anchor, the fastest way to end up to make a podcast and in a lot of ways and everything else. It is 100% free to join the diverse community company right then and there and everything else. You could get your podcast jumped into Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, CastBreaker, those type of all podcasts that you can translate and everything else. Anchor is by far 100% free right then and there. So my thing is, and everything else, what you're saying is that you're saying that Drew Brees needs to win another Super Bowl MVP in order for him to be somewhere around middle class range to say, okay, he's already there. My thing is to that is if the Saints could literally fix the alliteration. And sometimes it can get that it's hard, a little bit difficult to end up to get back to their actual rhythm. The rhythm that they had before they end up lost to Dallas was going to be kind of complicated. But if they can fix those complicated ways down the way before the postseason end up comes, just like right now, Saints end up got 3 games left to go. Pretty much the Saints can end up winning those 3 games right then and there because Carolina is too vulnerable. Pittsburgh hasn't recovered from a 3-game losing streak, so it's going to be complicated. But I'm going to say that's going to be a tight-knit game in Week 16.
Yep.
I'm pretty much saying that if the Saints pretty much can sweep Atlanta, they pretty much is going to sweep the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, they are. The Panthers are done. And I agree with you. I think the Saints
dead done, and on top of all this, well, which I got breaking news reports right then and there. Spencer Ware is sent up out, which he's not playing. He injured that hamstring of his, so he won't play tonight against the Chargers. So my thing is that if you look at it from right then and there, if the things end up goes the way that the Saints end up can eliminate and end up fix everything, the Saints can pretty much can run the tables in the NFC.
Yeah, and I'll say this. If Dallas goes into New Orleans, the Saints are going to kill Dallas. It's going to be a revenge game. I'm just letting you know that now.
That's straight blood in the water right then and there. Because I don't think Dallas is not going to be able to end up to handle the atmosphere in the Superdome like that. Because when the Superdome gets loud,
it's crazy.
It tends to get very, very loud. And when you do that, you won't make it out of the Superdome alive.
You're right.
Yo, Dallas is only going to be lucky if they only get one home playoff game this year.
Yep.
Division leaders. But the only way they're going to have to close this out, they got to be Indianapolis in order for them to end up just – close the chapter.
I know.
They need to beat Indianapolis for them to end up to say, oh, we already got this division on hand. Don't speed yourself up too quick fast in a hurry, because it ain't going to get you nowhere. if you don't validate yourself just because your defense is in the plan, you still got to fix your offense.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to fix your offense, and you best to fix your offense quick.
Yeah,
because
yeah, I agree.
Yes, because when Dallas played, we played Dallas 13 points. Please explain that one to me. Just because that was good defense.
Yeah, no, but there was also a play where Kamara got hit in the head, and it was so obvious, and they missed a call. Like, it's just.
Oh, but here's the thing about it, though.
I went off.
The NFL fined Jalen Smith for that helmet there on the contact. Now, these referees then need to learn to look at these simplified plays and everything else here. Just like they should have learned to look at those simplified plays in that game against Dallas. The fumble recovery that you just mentioned during the beginning of the show. What else? Something else was missing to this here. I know you said about the interception. The fumble recovery.
The fumble recovery. Yeah.
That was a forward progress.
Yep.
I understand that wasn't a forward progress. I know Doug Peterson was
He was pissed.
He was ticked off by the high demands. If I say he was so ticked off. Huh? So that's one thing about it. If you alliterate all that, I know Doug Peterson could have went down to the NFL board and then they'll be like, oh, how come these referees end up missing this call and that call right then and there? He'd have been telling these people, y'all letting Dallas end up getting away with murder.
Oh, I know. But
and Dallas getting away with murder over the past a couple of weeks without a certain penalty because they'll think it, oh, it's hard to end up to beat Dallas because they getting the calls they way. Come on, they can't fool me with that.
Oh, I know. But anything else you want to talk about? Or
let me see. Okay. So the situation of tonight's game and everything else. Give me your score prediction on who wins this game and why.
Okay.
Should they?
Okay.
For the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Okay. So I think this game, I think the Chiefs will still find a way to win just because they have just owned their division recently. And there's just something about the Chargers. The Chargers are just they're really good. They're a complete team. But whenever they play Kansas City, they just can't get over the hump. And I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for over 350 and four touchdowns, and I think the Chiefs will prevail at the end.
What's your score here?
My score here, I'm going to say 35-31 Chiefs.
35-31 Chiefs. Oh, wow. Well, I'll say it like this here for you. I'm pretty much just end up going to call the upset in this one. I'm calling the upset is going to beat the Chiefs because defensively for the Chiefs, you're just now end up getting Eric Berry back from injury. You're just getting one of your best strong safety players back in this game tonight. I'm calling the upset in this one. I'm calling the game score, I'm going to say 41-35. Chargers wins and gets to the playoff, clinch the playoffs. They're going to force the Chiefs to end up winning the division the next game.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, so I'm calling it a 41-35 Chargers over the Chiefs right then and there.
I like it.
Next transition I wanted to end up bring up was that final matchup from LeBron and Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
In Staples Center a couple of nights ago. And everything else. What was your predicament on these two last matchup, their farewell matchup against each other? Since Dwayne Wade is hanging these shoes up,
I loved it from start to finish. It was a close game. Obviously, Dwayne Wade shot 0-9 from 3, so he couldn't buy a 3-point shot last the other night. But again, these two are all-time greats. Obviously, when they played with each other, arguably one of the best duos in NBA, probably top five, not close to top. I would say like around top five duo in NBA history in terms of LeBron and Wade. Like, I know they had Chris Bosh as well, but it was LeBron. It was the LeBron and Wade show every night, and it started out with Wade carrying LeBron. Because obviously we know LeBron had 8 points in that classic game four against Dallas Mavericks, whereas Dwayne Wade was carrying the team throughout. And then after that year, Wade challenged LeBron and said, "We need you to lead the team. You're the better talented player, and we need you to step up." And LeBron took on the challenge. And then LeBron ended up carrying Wade. And we noticed how when they went to their fourth straight finals, that Wade was banged up and the Spurs were just too good. And LeBron and the Spurs were just too good, but
it was a experienced Spurs team.
Yeah,
who played well-rounded offense and defense.
Yep.
Especially, I give credit to Kawhi Leonard. I give credit where credit is due.
Yep.
I give credit for shutting down LeBron in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He really did his generic part and then said, "I lost to LeBron once before. I doggone sure wasn't going to lose to him again."
Yep, yep, you're absolutely correct. And
he was finals MVP that year. He was finals MVP. He played outstanding defense. Spurs was just a dominating team, which in they took from last year. They took from the 2013 finals loss from Miami. Carried that momentum on them because they say, "You know what? We're better than this here."
Yep, you're right. It was a whole revenge tour.
So in that time, it was a revenge tour during that year of going there. And like I was saying once before and everything else, everybody's pretty much as long as Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
When the entire year is all over, it's over and done for him. And everything else, he don't have nothing else to prove, really. This man said, "I done been to the All-Star game 13 times. I done been an All-NBA player 8 times. I done won 3 NBA championships. I was a Finals MVP back in 2006,
yep.
and I won my first championship in my third year in the league." He did it in his third year in the NBA.
Yep.
No other player has ever done it. It took him to his third year from out of Marquette to win your first NBA championship. And I'm talking about that roster he had, which you had Gary the Glove Payton, you had Dwayne Wade, you ended up having
Shaquille O'Neal,
you had Antoine Walker, you had Haslam, you had Diesel, you had O'Neal, you had big man in the center right then and there. You had that roster throughout the whole 06 year and everything else. There was no excuses. That was by far the best 06 team to ever play that game. Ever. For Dwayne Wade. And Dwayne Wade, I think Dwayne Wade was somewhere in his 20s. I think he was in his early prime right then and there playing.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, when there were times when Dwayne Wade won his second and third titles, it felt like his knees was giving up on him.
Yeah.
Like he was starting to get very weary. But he kept taking on that mentality challenge year after year. Kept saying to himself, "This ain't the way I want to go out." He could have went out and then just won those two NBA finals, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that, so he felt that this time of the year was, "You know what? I don't have nothing else to prove and everything else. I done did my bargaining and everything else. I've been in this league since 03.
Yep.
I've been in this league for 03. That's about 15, 16 years. He's ending his professional NBA career this year from 03 till now this time of the year. And he's playing sensational basketball this year, and the basketball year is very early. It only got to determine, I'm going to say, he's going to make his last playoff run. And once he make his last playoff run and everything else, I said to myself was is that, you know, I ain't gonna lie. When him and LeBron end up having their matchups, I was just like, these two is gonna go at it for years. But that was the type of brotherhood ship that they had. But the only mutual respect that LeBron ended up having, he had the mutual respect that he had from Kobe. Kobe and LeBron, that was fair competitiveness.
Yep, you're right. And I mean, and I always wanted to see Kobe and LeBron play with each other because I feel like, because there's been this topic where people said, who would you take, Kobe or LeBron? And like, who would be the better player if they play with each other? I would say Kobe because LeBron would benefit more. That was the question, my fault. Who would benefit more if they play with each other, Kobe or LeBron? And I would say LeBron would benefit more because Kobe would have taught LeBron that mentality of that alpha dominant mentality because LeBron did not have that.
He didn't have that.
He had to go to Miami to learn it from Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley. So, like, when I say, like, if LeBron and Kobe play with each other, who would benefit more? It would definitely be LeBron because LeBron will learn so much from Kobe because Kobe's mentality is right up there with Jordan's mentality in terms, like, he's literally a mirror image of Jordan. It's just we all know Jordan is better. Like, that's what it comes down to. But
he was better clutch gene.
Yeah. I mean, Kobe was clutch. Don't get me wrong. It's just Jordan's just on another level.
Yeah, but the only thing was, and I was studying Kobe real well throughout his entire years. Kobe, the way I saw Kobe, I think Kobe kind of ended up took some image from Jordan from the fadeaway and the game-winning shots. I think he kind of pretty much ended up studying Jordan. Thing I could have said about Kobe was that Kobe should have ended up studying this early in his career.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, it was harder because Kobe came out of high school and like I know like LeBron came out of high school and he dominated right away, but it takes some time. Like you're coming from the high school to like the NBA. Like you're going from playing against little kids to grown men. So of course it's gonna take Kobe a little bit. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I had a lot of fun on your show. I'm having a blast. I do gotta eat dinner though. I'm not gonna lie.
I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna front you and everything else. So thank you. I want to end up to say thank you for end up joining in on this show, on this episode right then and there, which we already have our prediction scores and everything else. You said the Chiefs is pretty much just gonna win the division. I pretty much end up saying the Chargers is going to upset the Chiefs to make the Chiefs end up playing for another division game right then and there. So, Josh, I said thank you for end up talks for joining in on the show right then and there. Appreciate your thoughts and knowledge and everything else. Hopefully, we can end up towards run this down again.
Of course, anytime. Just let me know.
Josh Sanchez right then there, right there on the RLJ Brock Show. And what was the name of your actual podcast show is again?
My podcast is called Swoop Radio with Josh Sanchez. I talk about sports and also mental health as well.
Wow. So if you ever end up asking any typical questions about the NFL, the NBA, and everything else, and also talk about actual mental health, talk to this dude, Josh Sanchez from Swoop Radio, right then and there. He's the actual person that you need to end up with guidelines and everything else about the mental health and everything else. And plus, if you ever need sports knowledge from him, go to his actual radio here on Anchor Podcast, right then and there. The fastest way to end up to make a podcast here, and it's 100% diverse free. To the diverse community and everything else. Till that time, again, right then and there, Josh Sanchez, thank you for end up joining the show right then and there and everything else. It's the RLJ Brock Show here and of course eliterate, and then they'll come back to y'all sometime. I would say pretty much the next day to end up to talk about the Chiefs and the Chargers of that game. Josh, thank you for ending up joining in with me.
Of course, anytime.
Anytime, right there. Peace and love.
All right, peace and love.